Okay, good. So we'll go ahead and start class. Firstly, this Sunday I'll teach a course on forgiveness. So if any of you are interested, you know, please feel free to come. Let me, I can send out the link in the, let's see here. Here's the link. It's donation basis as usual. And then what I'm thinking to do for today's meditation is just to go over the same type of forgiveness work that we'll cover on Sunday, because that'll give me some practice and, you know, it's a good thing to do anyway. So, okay, good. So in preparation for today's meditation, take 3 or 4 minutes to write down some sort of upset that is still bothering you. So go ahead and do that now. What's something that still bothers you? Still take a few more minutes on that. Adrian, I think maybe you're a little bit new. So just write, you were just writing down whatever piece we want to work on about forgiveness. So whatever kind of issue you're still upset about. Doesn't have to be in a lot of detail, just so you remember what you want to work on. Okay. So we'll go ahead and move into the meditation. I think we'll take a little bit more time with the relaxation piece, you know, the body scan, etc. Then we'll reinforce the imaginal parents, and then we'll get into the forgiveness practice. Alrighty. So pushing the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. And now it's starting to settle in. The crown is pushed up. The chin is slightly tucked. The shoulders are back and down just a bit. The chest is up and out just a bit. There's a slight forward tilt in the hips to help the abdomen kind of rise and fall in an unobstructed manner. And then it doesn't matter very much what you do with your legs, but it's helpful if you can have your knees slightly below the hips. That helps the hips tilt forward. Good. Now we'll do 3 deep breaths, retaining each one. So go ahead and inhale very, very deeply and then retain the breath below the navel. Exhale. Extend the length of the exhale. Now inhale very, very deeply, retaining the breath below the navel. Exhale. Once again, inhale very deeply and retain the breath below the navel. Now exhale. Good. Now bring the attention and have it rest on the feet, legs, and hips. And in an inquiry style, meditation can be interesting here. So what is it like to experience my feet, legs, and hips? And now notice the rising and falling of the abdomen. And notice how this rising and falling happens on its own. And now feeling the chest expand and contract. And now noticing the upper back and shoulders. Now feeling the arms and the hands. And now the head, neck, and face. Now, take a deep, deep breath and feel the whole body all at once. And now exhale, letting the whole body exhale and relax all at once. Get good. Now we'll spend 1 minute noting body sensations and emotions in the body itself. So where do you feel emotions and tensions in the body? And just label those. This will help us have a more kind of embodied an emotional experience during the meditation. Again, notice where you feel emotion in the body. Okay, good. Now we'll kind of reinforce the imaginal parents. We'll use them in the meditation. Okay, so now bring up the easy to love object. This is likely a pet, animal, or a child under the age of 5. So bring them up in the mind's eye. And now go ahead and smile. Now feel the smile in the body. And we can use a mantra here. May you be safe and happy. May you be safe and happy. So send this loving kindness and concern to the easy to love object. May you be happy. And the beloved sends back the same energy to you. The beloved reciprocates. You're looking each other in the eyes. May you be safe and happy. And now notice how there is a motivation, you really want to help. Like at any moment, you can feel how you could just jump into action to help the beloved. And now imagine a good quality about the beloved. Something that you admire, something that some quality or characteristic of the beloved's that brings about happiness for them and for others. Go ahead and see that now. Now notice how there's a big smile on your face. What a delight. How wonderful. See how you rejoice in the good qualities of the beloved. And see how the beloved knows that they are supported. They see you supporting them. And now see how this brings about a feeling of confidence in the beloved. Confidence to keep exploring, to keep growing, to keep reinforcing these good traits. This is sympathetic joy, appreciative joy. And now, bring to mind the beloved suffering. So see the beloved suffering. And now notice what the mind does. The natural response when love sees suffering is compassion. You might even say to the beloved, how can I help? What can I do to help you move through this? I want you to be well. But now imagine the scene. You see the beloved suffering, and you want to let the beloved know that you understand. You might lean in, tilt the head. Say, oh, what's wrong? You might now also physically soothe the beloved. Go ahead and see that scene now. You could use a mantra here. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. And now also notice how the body is activated. You're really willing to help. All the muscles in your body are about to fire and get you moving to help the beloved. Notice that, feel that. And now, imagine that the beloved is very, very upset. And maybe even upset and angry in such a way that might even be triggering for you, might be difficult for you to handle. But now notice this spaciousness of mind. Notice how your love, your attention, your willingness to help is totally undisturbed by this, let's say, troubling display on the part of the beloved. Notice how you can take it all in. It doesn't bother you, and you're still totally motivated to help. See that now. Okay, good. And now you as a child, at the age of 5 or less, take the place of the beloved, and then have imaginal parents take your place. It can be one parent, it can be both, it can also be a kind of anthropomorphic figure that is not necessarily even a human. And now, get this sense of total support and security with your imaginal parents. Notice how the imaginal parents understand your mental states and attune to you. They know exactly what's happening. Notice how you feel so secure in the relationship. And now also notice how there is a trustworthy delight that they have towards you. Just a natural, simple delight. Notice how they see you and see your good qualities. There's a natural support for these good qualities and a support for you. See that now. And now also notice how, once again, their delight is totally trustworthy. We keep the things safe that we love, that we enjoy. And now notice how that helps you settle. And now just briefly bring up some suffering that has arisen for you in the past. Something that's unsettled. And now have the imaginal parents really understand this. They might lean in, tilt the head, say, oh, what's happening? Well, it looks like you're upset about this. That's okay. Of course you're upset. And now also have them move to comfort you, to soothe you. And they do so in just the right way. Go ahead and develop that scene now. That's right. They might say, how can I help? What can I do? Now also remember the visualization is important, but the felt sense is more important than the visualization. And now imagine yourself presenting in a way that you might expect would not be taken in well. Maybe you're really enraged, really upset, kind of in a very difficult mood. And now notice how the imaginal parents aren't put off by that at all. They have this broadness of mind. And the only thing that arises for them is concern, responsiveness, and receptivity. And they move to soothe you and help you work through this. Develop that scene now. And now start noticing how you're feeling better now. Okay, good. And now release that. Okay, so now we'll get into the forgiveness practice. Okay. So go back to this triggering event. And feel into the emotional truth of what you experienced. And here you want to do this with no filters. Don't have the intellectual mindset, oh no, you shouldn't feel this way. No, no. Bring up what was done to you with quite a lot of detail. Reconstitute the scene. And feel into the emotional truth of it. Also, given this situation, given this way that you were treated poorly, what beliefs come up about yourself? What do you think about yourself? What do you think about the world? And what do you think about others? When you're kind of believing the emotional truth of being treated poorly like this, like, oh, I'm bad, I deserve bad treatment, and the world is an unsafe place, something like that. Now really let this be there. Don't fight it. Also know that we're going to move through this fully. And now welcome in any and all harsh feelings. Welcome in the pain. Welcome in the sense of, welcome in the grudges that you still hold, the resentment. Let that be there entirely. Speak from this emotional part of the mind. Now, what does this feel like in the body? What does it feel like in the heart, the stomach, the face, the neck, the shoulders? And give lots of space for all of this. All of this is fine. All of this is natural. You might feel hatred, confusion, a sense of being stuck. And now see how these emotions and these thoughts relate back to what was done to you. And now, just for a minute, bring in the imaginal parents, have them soothe you, reassure you, see exactly what happened, and see how upset you are. Go ahead and develop that scene now. That's right. Keep developing the scene. Keep taking in this soothing and acknowledgement and attunement. And also, these parents are not put off by any emotional expression like anger, shame, sadness, etc. Take your time with this. And now, what is beneath all this? Are there any emotions that are there at even a deeper level, underneath the anger, underneath the shame? And now give that space, put words to that. Now have the imaginal parents see that. You know, what can the imaginal parents say to you now to help you get soothed around this, to help you make sense of this? Have them do that now. That's right. Keep developing the scene in such a way to meet your needs. That's right. And now, you and these imaginal parents float back to this original scene where you were treated poorly by this other person. And now, this other person or other people are small and not scary. You and the imaginal parents are big and strong and vivid. And now go ahead and tell this other person about what they did and how it hurt you. Really explain this in a lot of detail and have them understand and listen. Why was this wrong? Why did this hurt you? Go ahead and explain that. Also, feel free to let the other person know why they were at fault. This wasn't a nice thing to do. Go ahead and explain that now. And now, have this clear sense that you're supported by these imaginal parents. Also, have this other person or other people that treated you poorly, have them really understand why you're upset. They might say, "Oh, I see now. This was really unjust of me. I see that this hurt you. This was really inconsiderate on my part." And now have them apologize. They might also say, "Oh, you know, at the time I was stressed. I was not thinking clearly. I didn't actually understand the harm that I was doing to you. I am really sorry. It was ignorant of me." And now have the imaginal parents see this happen, see you be vindicated. And now also touch into this quality of broadness of mind. There's something spacious about the mind. And now notice how you can see their apology. You can see this old hurt. You can see it in a broader context. And that doesn't make it not hurt, but you understand it more deeply. And now this might seem a little bit weird, but notice how these same, let's say, problematic mental states or problematic emotions or ignorance that drove this other person to hurt you, that in some form, and it might be a very different form, those same qualities are also in you, which is not to shame you. It's just to understand. And we're not blaming you whatsoever. But this same ability to not think of others, to be a little bit impulsive, or whatever it is, that is also in you, like it is in all beings. So now see that. You might say the words, yes, me too. This is also in me. And now there's a sadness and grief of seeing that in ourselves. And again, we're not blaming ourselves whatsoever. We're just understanding. See how you may have treated others the same way. And that's okay. It was the best you could do at the time. And now go back to this original hurt. Is it still there? And it's totally okay if it is. We're not trying to get rid of it. If it's there, have the imaginal parents come and soothe you again. Now shape and reshape the scene in such a way so that your needs get met. Do this person or people that hurt you need to come back and apologize again? If so, do that. And now start noticing how you can take this in such a way that you understand the context. You understand how being hurt, hurting others, is part of our shared experience. And see how it causes real suffering. Good. And now this next step is also a bit weird. But reflect on what good came from this mistreatment that you experienced. And we are not denying that it hurt, but also some good things came from this. And it might just be that you have a deeper understanding of suffering. But go ahead and reflect on what good things came from this mistreatment. See if you can list out 3 good things. The bar is very low here. That's right. Keep developing. Good. Now, once again, notice this broadness of mind, this ability to take it all in at the same time, to see the good and the bad in such a way that you don't deny any part of your experience. Also, just notice the causation. Notice how there were certain dynamics in this other person's life that made them act this way, that hurt you. And now notice how when you've hurt others, it was causal in that same way. There were certain conditions in your life that made it such that you hurt another. This is part of what it's like to be a human. And now we're coming to the end, but let's do a little bit of compassion practice. So go back and one last time, reflect on the hurt that was caused in this old scene. It really hurt you. And now reflect. This type of hurt is very common. So many others feel the same way, have experienced the same type of hurt. And now on the in-breath, reflect on that. Reflect on that suffering. And then on the out-breath, send all these beings that have hurt in the same way loving kindness and a desire that their suffering diminish. So again, on the in-breath, reflecting on their suffering that you know so well. And on the out-breath, sending them the hope that their suffering diminishes and that they're well. Okay, good. So now the meditation is coming to an end. But before we end it, once again, make the mind very broad and open. And look back. What was this like for you? What did you learn? Review. Good. So we'll go ahead and wrap up the meditation. Bring your attention to the rising and falling of the abdomen. Now open up the eyes halfway, but keep following the rising and falling of the abdomen. And now open up the eyes and let the meditation go entirely and come back to the room. Okay. So how did that go for people? Would anybody like to comment? You know, I'll go ahead and start. It was interesting. I felt that doing the practice, it had this like kind of strong wisdom feel of like, understanding, just how kind of confusing life is, and understanding suffering and how it's not personal. And also the sense of camaraderie was pretty strong. So, okay, that's my practice report.
I felt that as well, Cedric, just the impersonal, but also all in this together kind of feeling. And just throughout the whole experience, I just felt connected like every step of the way, which is new for me. And it's just this underlying kind of, like you said, like wisdom, just like it feels like maybe it was the tapping into that broadness of mind. I just kind of picturing like an ocean for some reason, but because it was such a deep experience, and from it, some of my, and I'm still learning in some ways, but from that deep and traumatic experience, some of my greatest gifts were being born at the same time. Like I can recognize that, when the same thing has happened or someone else has had a similar experience, and I'm just like, I feel like I'm in a, maybe not, I'm in a stage of growth around it, which makes sense. So like initially I would see that had happened to someone else, or I could sense it, and I would get, angry. I'd be like kind of immature about it, but I would, I would kind of take the feelings on. Whereas now like it's growing a bit. I can see that reaction becoming more of a response and just a broadening, like you're saying, I can hold it all. I can hold my experience and theirs and the impersonality, but there is a deeper compassion. And there aren't a lot of words for a lot of this, but I can still feel just like this deep humming and resonance. So that was really wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Great report, Ray. It's really interesting. And like, I'm also kind of always worried kind of when I'm saying like, okay, now like, look at how this has been you, look at the benefits, and like, because like, I never want to like deny any of the suffering, but you need, it's like this exercise in like, taking it all in a very fair-minded way, like look at your suffering, don't deny that at all. Then, but then also look at all the rest of it, which again, there's no sugarcoating, there's no making it okay, it sucks. But then there's also all these other perspectives and anyhow, well, I better wrap up. I got to run this book club. All right. Hey, see y'all. Thank you all for coming. And then, come to the forgiveness workshop, any of you that want to. Okay. Bye-bye.